Let's see what the stew has for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, the Gnome Stew's tabletop gaming advice podcast. Here we talk with the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew, so I guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by our awesome Patreon backers like the stupendous Suzanne Cabral, the effervescent Eric Bontz, and the astounding Anthony Macaronis. Today we've got Phil, Camden, and myself, Ange, and we're going to talk about JT's article Resisting the Shiny. Before we dive into that topic, though, let's ask our get-to-know-a-gnome question. Phil, what shiny new game do you really want to dive into and start running or playing as soon as you can?
Oh, God, is it only one? Like, and there are, I narrowed it to basically three. I have one in my hand right in front of me. It's The Sword, the Crown of the Unspeakable Power by Wheeltree Press. Like, I'm dying to try my hand at Game of Thrones like PBTA. Coming out so very soon is Scum and Villainy from Evil Hat, which is the sci-fi version of Blades in the Dark.
Yep. I have a coworker who's going to be starting a campaign of that based on the quick start rules later this month that I'm very excited about.
I'm just holding on. I'm just going to get the, like, I'm going to wait for the print book to come out and just order it and get it. But yes, and the other one, which just came across my desk a couple days ago, is in the recent issue of the Gauntlet Codex, which is Midnight at the Oasis by Catherine Rahman, which is a small, I think it's probably like a 2-hour game about queerness and cross-dressing communities in the 1990s. And it's just, it's brilliant. Ooh. Like, it's this brilliant small 2-hour game, and I'm dying to get a group of people together to just one shot it and play it out.
What about you, Cam?
So I'm looking forward to, I can follow rules, so I only have one game.
That's what you get for being a senior gnome. Like, I don't have, like, I don't obey any rules. Like,
I know.
He's avoided the stew this long.
I aspire to live that dream one day. So I am really, really, really looking forward to Ross Kalman's BFF. I backed it on Kickstarter. I got a chance to play test it at Metatopia last November, and I am smitten in every way with this game. You play teenage girls that go on adventures like going to summer camp, and it involves charm bracelets and adorable little maps and flat figure flats, and I cannot wait. It's ridiculous how excited I am.
Is it kind of like Fall of Magic, but like, you know, best friend girls kind of thing? Like,
yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you're really just telling a story. There's a mechanic that kind of ends each of the scenes. Mm-hmm. But it's magical to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that on Kickstarter. I couldn't. Money's been a little too tight, so I've been holding back on some Kickstarter backs. But that one looks so adorable.
It is. It really is. That was my big splurge. So what about you, Ange?
The game I want to run that I haven't had a chance to really dig into yet has actually been out for a little while. I think I got my Kickstarter-backed book a couple of months back, but City of Mist.
Nice.
The book is absolutely freaking gorgeous, and it's huge. And I just want to dive into this noir superhero, you know, mythos type of thing and just dive into that. But it's like there's so many other games going on with my gaming group. I just haven't been able to squeeze it in or get it in there.
I've never seen a PBTA game of that size before. Like, it is. That book is daunting in size. It's Champions-like.
Nobody believes me when I tell them it's a PBTA game when they first see it.
Like, are you sure it's not Champions? Like, it looks like a Champions game.
I know. And the worst part, too, is like, I've been very spoiled by my PBTA games because they're easy to take with me when I go to bed and climb into bed and just read through. I can't read the City of Mist book in bed. It's too big. It falls and hits me in the face. It's just, so I finally put it on my tablet and, you know, started going through it that way. But it was like, oh my God, this book. So let's get into our main topic. JT's article, which was published towards the end of May, talks about, ooh, shiny syndrome, where new games start looming over current campaigns. JT talks quite a bit about avoiding burnout and staying focused on the group's current campaign, and there's some really good advice there, but different things work for different groups, and I thought it would be fun to grab a few of us and talk about our own struggles and tactics for dealing with that shiny new game sitting on the shelf calling to be run. And I know from listening to Misdirected Mark that this is something that Phil struggles with occasionally, because you always have something new you want to run. So mm-hmm. I figured I'd bring us all together and talk about this. So what are some of your strategies for getting through the current campaign so you can then eventually get to that shiny new game?
I think the one that, and I actually learned it from Sneezak. So the one that I learned is to start treating my campaigns like BBC dramas. Like they're limited, like 6-7 episodes for an arc. And after an arc, we can just choose to play something else or have another arc. And actually, that's what we've been doing. My Sunday night group that I play in with Chris, we've actually been rotating through a number of games in these like 4-5 session arcs where we just try a game out and we have a satisfying story, which I think is good, right? Like, I don't think anyone wants to necessarily drop things in the middle, but we're also cycling through like a bunch of games. So we've done like Urban Shadows and we did Legacy, the PBTA game, and now we're moving on to, I think, Monster of the Week. And so, yeah, like I really like the idea of if you know that shiny is a problem that you have, like stop trying to think about running multi-year campaigns as, you know, one long run, like in, like not like the Law and Order, you know,
right.
20 years of a campaign, but instead these like really targeted arcs that you can bring up, finish and bring up later if you want to continue playing a game.
Camden, how about you? Have you run into this type of issue? Because I know you tend to GM a lot for your group.
Yeah. Strangely, my answer is going to be a lot like Phil's. I look at things in, I like strong episodic sessions with a full story arc of a kind of a seasonal thing. So I like to think of it because I'm less fancy than Phil. I like to think of it as a Netflix show where you cut out all the filler episodes. So it's just that one strong, tight story. And I prefer groups where there's a lot of GMs so that we mm-hmm. can also rotate out because there's a lot of things that I want to play that might not suit my running style. And so I like the idea of being able, when somebody's got a lot of energy, to say, okay, you know, let's run, you want to run Scum and Villainy? Let's make that happen and keep that same tight format.
I know for me, one of the issues beyond also that shiny thing on the shelf calling to be paid attention to, I also run into, you know, my own versions of GM burnout where I start second guessing myself with running campaigns. And I found that my limit for running is about that 6-7 session mark before I start just being like, okay, I need a break. I need to play for a while to recharge. So it's like also my group has settled into that BBC Netflix style where we have a thing, we play for a certain time, get to a nice season finale, and then go on to the next game. And, you know, depending upon the game, we'll or will not go back to those characters again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Have you had any campaigns, like campaigns that didn't finish the way you wanted to because you ended up getting distracted by something?
All the way to like 2010, I think. I mean, my players used to dread post Gen Con because I would go to Gen Con and then I would like come home with like a stack of games and I would be like, welp, that campaign we played before Gen Con was kind of nice, but look what I picked up, right? And I would just like, I wouldn't even want to like gracefully exit out. Like I would just, I'd be like, oh, I'm done with this campaign. I want to switch and play this shiny thing I bought at Gen Con. And so, yeah, for years I subjected my players to just bad endings to campaigns or, you know, the just fizzle out or, hey, we'll just try this as a one shot. We'll never come back to this like kind of thing. Like, yeah, I apologize to all my past players. Like I was really bad about this.
How about you, Cam?
I've only played in one, like, I think it was a 3-year campaign. And I remember exactly three things about it. I remember one time, the very beginning when I was really excited. I remember in the middle of the campaign, somebody like went rogue and basically derailed everything that everyone else had spent like 3 weeks trying to do. And then how happy I was on the very last session that it was over. So I have always kind of really hyper-focused myself into those shorter campaigns because it just fits my brain and my personality. But anytime I've tried to run anything over like 9 sessions, I feel like it's not fun for me, and I project that onto the players. I'm always second-guessing and going, oh, man, they must have had the worst time because I'm miserable. So it's been my experience. How about you?
I also had that thing up until probably about 2011, 2012, where I was a good GM is supposed to be able to run the long campaign. You're supposed to be able to take that campaign, make your players have their characters, and then run for years. And I always felt like a failure because I couldn't do that. And I would end up stressing myself out. And I have two Supers campaigns that I started and abandoned with my players that they still, to this day, razz me for abandoning them. The worst one is the Cleveland Supers game, where I had, you know, the setup was there were no Supers in the world, at least as far as they were aware. And then a whole bunch of people got sick with a flu that was very much like the Spanish influenza, where it affected younger, healthier people. And the PCs all got sick. And then a few months later, all started developing superpowers. And it was great fun at first, but I was starting to get stressed because I wasn't sure where the campaign was going. It wasn't quite, you know, I was struggling with the, you know, am I doing a traditional Supers game? Am I doing a Heroes type of story? What am I doing with this? And then one day I sat there and listened to my players talk about the epidemiology of the flu epidemic that hit everyone and how many people should be developing powers within the next 6 months and how that was going to break the fabric of society and they should probably start stocking up on things because they were going to end up with the government collapsing. And I'm just like, this isn't the campaign I was thinking I was running. And I just panicked and ran away from it. And the players are all like, but that was such a good game. That was so much fun. And I'm just like, I know, I'm sorry. And it was kind of the failure of that game and starting to learn more about how other people were running campaigns after that, that I started readjusting how I was doing things. And it's like now I definitely do the, you know, okay, I'm going to run for X number of sessions. We'll come to a nice ending, but then we'll pick it up in a few months after I've recharged.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, it's funny, Ange, because I think there was somewhere in the 80s, there was this belief like you had to run these, you know, forever campaigns. Because for the longest time, I used to think a successful campaign was 1 year. Like, if you could get to the 1 year mark, that was a successful campaign, to which I have like so many like corpses in my, you know, in my closet for not getting there. But I mean, I've only ever once, I mean, in the, what, 30 something years I've been a GM, I've only ever once pulled off a multi-year campaign. I one time had a 3 year, 37 session campaign, which was like about the, and I say session, I shouldn't say session, 37 stories, because each one took like a couple weeks to do. But it was, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. Yeah. To keep it alive. And I mean, I'm happy it stayed positive all the way through, but there were definitely times, like Camden talked about, there were definitely times like, why are we still playing this game? And I would manage to like stoke the fires and keep it going. But ever since then, I like checked it off my like bucket list and I was like, well, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, I'll just run shorter games now. Like, that's fine.
After the failed Cleveland game, I decided to go a little more traditional and I started an Eberron campaign in Pathfinder because we didn't want to play 4th edition because we had mm-hmm. been playing a lot of 4th edition and 5th edition wasn't out yet. So we started with Pathfinder and basically, the game still exists, although it's dormant right now. I started it at the end of 2011, and every year or so, we play for about 6 or 7 sessions, and then lay it to rest, and then go on and play other stuff. But I found that's the way for me to actually do that long-form campaign. It's like it takes a little more buy-in from the players being willing to pick up those characters, remember who they are and what's going on in the story, but it's what's worked for me.
Yeah, I do something similar with the, I treat it like sort of a television season. And at the beginning of, like, if we play like weird noir supers, when we come back, I'll redo a session zero to give everybody a chance to catch up and develop who they are now as opposed to who they were then. There's always some period of time that's passed between the two seasons. I've found pretty good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. I found the recap email usually works for me because not only does it give the players that are willing to read it something to read, it helps me to sit there and type it all out to remember where they've been, where they're going. And then the gamer war stories also really help because invariably when we get together, it's like somebody will have a jab at somebody for something they did in a previous campaign, and that'll keep those characters alive that way too.
Have you guys ever done anything like the, I think it started in Dungeon World, but I've seen it carried across a lot of other games now, like the love letter.
I haven't done those, but I like the idea of them.
Yeah, I like that idea as well, as like for coming back into a campaign, like writing a letter of like, hey, this is like what you kind of like, this is what you've done, and here's a move, you know, custom move that you're going to do to kind of determine how like that gap of time went. Mm-hmm. And we'll use that to kind of, you know, hook us into, you know, as you come back into the game.
With the Eberron campaign, I ended one season. They had gone to the Argonessen, which is the continent of dragons, and had this huge long adventure and finally found the artifact they were looking for. And that was where we ended the season. And when we came back to it, I did not want to run a game that was them basically leaving Argonessen to get back to civilization on the main continent. So what we did is it wasn't exactly a session zero, but it was more of a storytelling session where everyone took turns just narrating a bit about how they got from point A back to Sharn. And that was a lot of fun, except I discovered that one of my players was not as into it. And what we learned is that he has issues giving up control of his character to other people. Mm-hmm. So anytime somebody narrated something that involved him, he'd usually nix it unless it pretty much kept him at the status quo he wanted, which was like, okay, we learned something here. We can move on from this. But everyone else had an absolute blast with it. Have you ever had players who resist the switching to new games, that they just want to play that character because they don't feel like they finished what they were going for with it?
I had a player who I played with for a long time. I don't play with them anymore, largely in part because my taste in games changed, but they were very big on system mastery, and they were very big on, like, so when we were playing like 3.5, they had like picked out all their feats for all 20 levels. Like the day they made their character, like they had figured out like the whole feat progression for like 20 levels. So 9 months in, when I'm like, I'm done running fantasy, like, let's go play something else, they're looking at this, you know, list of uncompleted work. And we're like, but what about levels, you know, what about levels like 11 through 20? And I'm like, the game breaks down after level 10. Like, I don't know, it's not as much fun. And yeah, they would be very, like, very, very frequently frustrated with me because I would just get bored and want to move on. And they had like, you know, nine more levels of work than they needed to complete.
Yeah, I've definitely had issues before with players, and I've learned to be just upfront, you know, this is who I am, this is how I run games. So instead of having hard feelings, like, you know, halfway down the line, tell them that we might revisit this character later if everyone wants to do another season of this story. But understand that I am not your multi-year guy. You are not going to get level 1 to 20 hanging out with me as a player or as a GM.
I've found that giving the, you know, doing that season finale game where, you know, it can totally end in a cliffhanger, but it has to have that feel that you just had something important happen for the whole storyline of the characters. And it's got to feel like a season finale.
Yeah.
That really goes a long way to making the transition to another game easy. because I think back and I'm very appreciative of the GMs I had when I was back in high school and back in college. But as Phil said earlier, my history is littered with the corpses of those games that died suddenly with no sense of resolution. My college GM was especially notorious of, we would start a campaign, get about 2 or 3 months into it, and then all of a sudden he'd not want to run anymore and he'd flake out on us. And then he'd reappear a couple of months later and we'd start a whole new campaign in basically the same setting with different characters, and the cycle repeated many, many times over. So I think, you know, if you reach that point where you just, you know, as a GM, you're done, find a way to give your players some sort of resolution.
I think it's important, like Camden said, I think it's really important to know what kind of GM you are and just put it out there up front. Like, I know I want to run arcs, and depending on the game, I'll, you know, get a feel for how big of an arc is, but I try to be very upfront about that now. Like, you're not going to get a multi-year campaign out of me. What you are going to get is you're going to play a whole ton of cool games, because I'm going to want to cycle through a whole bunch of cool games, but you're not, like, if you're looking for that 3-year deep dive commitment, I'm not your GM.
So I think we've said everything we need to say about this. So let's head out. This show is funded by our Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can become a Patreon backer by following the Patreon link on the Gnome Stew website to the Gnome Stew Patreon. This ad brought to you by, is that a shiny new Kickstarter game? I'd really like to run this right this instance, but I have to wait several months for it. Oh, it's so shiny. I got to start planning my campaign now. If you're enjoying the Gnomecast, you'll probably like many of the other Misdirected Mark shows. Here's another one to check out.
Bone, Stone, and Obsidian. Wayne and Robert take monthly deep dives into the Dark Sun setting and discuss it across all editions of D&D.
You can find all of us at gnomestew.com, at gnomestew on Twitter, and gnomestew on Facebook. Camden, where else can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Camden, CAMDON.com, or at Camden on Twitter.
Excellent. Phil, how about you?
You can find me, DNA Phil, on Twitter. Plus, you can find me at all the other podcasts that hang out on the Misdirected Mark podcast, Pandas Talking Games, and always at EncodedDesigns.com.
Excellent. You can find me at Twitter at Orikes13, Orikes13. And do you think we avoided the stew this week?
I do indeed.
I think I'm 2 for 2 avoiding the stew.
Let's keep it that way.
Gnomecast is hosted by Misdirected Mark Productions, the media arm of Encoded Designs.
Someone asked me the question.
Hey,
Go ahead. Cam,
no,
you do it.
You do it. You're senior.
No, you do it. You do it.
You're the senior.
Do it.